I want you to imagine, just for a second, like staring down this massive, seemingly impossible to-do list.
Oh boy.
Right. We are talking hundreds, maybe thousands of items long.
Yeah.
And here is the kicker. You secretly know, for an absolute fact, that at least half of the items on this list don't even apply to you.
Yeah, they're just completely irrelevant.
Exactly. They have nothing to do with your job, your life, your actual responsibilities, but because of some, I don't know, bizarre, unyielding bureaucratic rule, you can't just cross them out.
Of course not. That would be too easy.
Yeah, instead you have to write a formal documented report explaining exactly, with hard evidence, why you are skipping each and every one of those irrelevant tasks.
I mean, just hearing you describe that setup is it's triggering a profound sense of admin fatigue for
It's
me.
the worst, right?
It really sounds like an absolute nightmare of misallocated human potential.
It is the universal feeling of pointless administrative dread. And yet, this exact nightmare scenario is something that product security teams, specifically, those working on embedded software systems, deal with literally every single day.
Oh, yeah. Every single day.
It's a massive drain on time, engineering talent, and resources. So, welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are looking at a genuinely incredible mechanical solution to this problem.
And it's a really elegant solution, too.
It really is. We've got a stack of research today, including some excerpts from an article about streamlining embedded security with RunSafe reachability analysis.
Right.
And our mission today is to figure out how we can systematically mathematically separate genuine software vulnerabilities from these phantom threats in embedded systems.
Because, I mean, the stakes here go far beyond just saving developers from a daily headache, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're really looking at how eliminating that artificial noise actually improves a product's real-world security posture. Because when a security team is just drowning in the thousands of false
Just
alarms,
totally overwhelmed.
exactly, it becomes mathematically impossible to dedicate the necessary cognitive focus to the fires that are actually burning.
Right.
You basically end up with a team that's optimized for compliance paperwork rather than, actual threat hunting.
Yeah, which is terrifying. But before we can fully appreciate the mechanics of the solution, we need to dissect why these software vulnerability lists are so artificially inflated in the first place.
Yeah, let's unpack that.
So the core of the problem stems from how standard vulnerability scanners interact with CVE databases, right? You feed your SBOM, your software bill of materials, into a scanner, and it cross-references your components against known vulnerabilities.
Which on paper sounds perfectly reasonable.
Right, on paper, this is just standard security hygiene.
But the trap lies in the architectural mismatch between how software is shipped and how vulnerabilities are actually reported.
Okay, what do you mean by mismatch?
Well, CVE databases describe vulnerabilities at the macro level of the source package. And a source package is essentially the raw material. It contains the entire universe of code for a project, like everything.
Everything, which is vastly more comprehensive than what actually gets compiled into the final binary that's running on a constrained device.
Okay, let's unpack this. It's like a health inspector shutting down your bakery because a massive wholesale supplier you use has a recall on peanuts, right?
That's a great way to put it.
But you only buy flour from them. You're getting penalized for their whole catalog.
Exactly. What's fascinating here is that the scanner lacks any real visibility boundary. So when a scanner looks at an SBOM and sees a massive package, like, say, the Linux kernel listed as a component,
Which is huge, right?
it doesn't possess the capability to look any deeper. It just automatically flags every single CVE that has ever been filed against that entire kernel release.
Oh, wow. So it just dumps everything on you.
Yeah, it hands the engineering team the full, unedited list, completely ignoring whether the vulnerable subcomponents are actually active in the final product.
So it's basically guilt by association. That is the fundamental flaw, yes. The scanner operates under a binary assumption. If the package name exists in the manifest, every single line of code within that massive package is assumed to be compiled, active, and exploitable.
Which is just not true.
Not at all. And in the context of modern software supply chains, where developers pull in massive libraries just to, utilize a single function, that assumption is a catastrophic failure of precision.
Man, let's ground this in a system-based reality because the abstract problem becomes an absolute showstopper when you look at heavily constrained environments.
Oh, definitely.
The source material uses the specific example of a Yocto-based Linux embedded system.
Yeah, Yocto is the perfect lens for this issue because building an embedded system is a fundamentally different engineering exercise than, say, deploying a standard desktop or a server operating system.
Right, you're dealing with way less space.
Exactly. If you're building the software architecture for a smart thermostat, or an industrial robotic arm, or a connected medical device, you are operating under severe hardware constraints.
You are fighting for every kilobyte of memory.
Every kilobyte of memory and every cycle of processing power.
Right. You definitely aren't dragging and dropping a generic Ubuntu image onto a pacemaker.
No, absolutely not. You are utilizing Yocto to compile a highly specific, aggressively stripped down subset of drivers, modules, and kernel subsystems.
Just the bare minimum.
Right. You are tailoring the operating system to your exact hardware specifications. So if the physical hardware of your device does not possess a Bluetooth radio, you explicitly configure the build to exclude the Bluetooth driver.
Makes total sense.
If there's no speaker, you drop the audio subsystems. You leave vast swaths of the Linux kernel sitting untouched on the cutting room floor.
But because of that package-level trap we just discussed,
wow,
a standard post-build vulnerability scan of that highly customized Yocto image is still going to light up like a Christmas tree.
Oh, it's going to go crazy.
Because the SBOM lists Linux kernel, right? So the scanner flags all the vulnerabilities to the Bluetooth driver, the sound system, the complex networking stacks, all this code that literally does not exist in the compiled firmware.
Yep. And the output is just a spreadsheet with thousands of critical and high severity alerts.
Yeah.
And for a security engineer, you know, each one of those alerts represents a mandated workflow.
See, I'm looking at this from a developer's perspective, and it feels like the industry is overcomplicating this entirely.
How so?
Well, if I wrote the Yocto recipe, and I know for an absolute fact that the Bluetooth module isn't on the thermostat, I just ignore the Bluetooth alert.
Right, in theory.
Right. Like, why can't a team just filter their spreadsheet by the keyword Bluetooth, hit the delete key, and move on with their lives? Why do we need an entire specialized tool to solve something a simple script could seemingly filter out?
I mean, it is the most logical reaction an engineer can have, but it completely collides with the reality of enterprise compliance, liability, and regulatory audits.
Ah, the auditors.
Exactly. In product security, there is no honor system.
Right.
When a commercial scanner flags a CVE, it establishes a formal, auditable record of a potential threat.
So it's on the books now.
It's on the books. And if an engineering team wants to dismiss that threat, they cannot just rely on a developer's spreadsheet filter or some generalized claim of, oh, we don't use that.
They need proof.
Auditors require systemic, documented, cryptographic proof. Without that definitive proof, compliance frameworks force the organization to treat every single alert as a real exploitable threat until it's rigorously investigated and dismissed.
Well, so the burden of proof is entirely on the developer. Someone has to manually investigate and write up a defense for every single phantom threat.
Exactly. A security engineer is forced to manually cross-reference the CVE, trace it back through the National Vulnerability Database to find the specific source files involved.
That sounds exhausting.
It is, and then manually reverse engineer the build configurations to verify those specific files were included, and then meticulously document all of that evidence in a JIRA ticket or compliance log.
And when you multiply that process by thousands of false positives on a single Yocto image,
the manual triage consumes hundreds of engineering hours.
That's insane.
And the tragic irony of this entire exercise is that it does absolutely nothing to improve the actual security posture of the device.
Right, you're not fixing anything.
No, it is pure defensive paperwork generated solely to satisfy an auditor.
That is the exact impossible to-do list we outlined at the start. You're spending your entire week proving why you shouldn't have to fix a ghost, rather than hunting down the vulnerabilities that actually made it into the code base.
Exactly.
That means the industry urgently needs a mechanism to peek inside the actual software and prove at a microscopic level what is and isn't there.
Yes. And to understand how RunSafe's reachability analysis solves this, we really have to look at the mathematical limitations of traditional tools.
Okay, break that down for me.
Well, most tools attempt to solve this problem by analyzing the finished binary or the package manifests after the entire build process is complete.
So they're looking at the final product. Mm. But trying to do a post-build scan on a statically linked C or C++ binary, it's like trying to reverse engineer a complex fruit smoothie back into its original ingredients by just staring at the color and taking a sip.
That is, yes.
You might guess there is strawberry in there. But you absolutely cannot prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that there isn't a trace of raspberry. The blending process fundamentally destroys the boundaries of the original inputs.
That is a highly accurate representation of the compilation process, honestly. Languages like C and C++, EA, which are, you know, the backbone of embedded systems, utilize static linking.
Right.
Developers frequently vendor their code, copying exact source files directly into their project tree rather than dynamically linking out to external libraries.
Okay.
And during the build process, the compiler strips out file names, inline functions, and applies heavy optimizations like dead code elimination.
So it's basically scrambling the evidence.
Pretty much. By the time the linker merges those object files into the final executable and linkable format binary, the ELF file, the distinct boundaries between different packages are entirely obliterated.
So the final binary is just a black box. Post-build scanners are forced to rely on fuzzy hashing or string matching to guess what made it into the build.
Right.
Which is mathematically noisy and imprecise.
It's an exercise in probability rather than certainty. And RunSafe's approach shifts the entire paradigm by recognizing that trying to reverse engineer the smoothie is a lost cause.
You can't unblend it.
No, you can't. So instead, they perform build time, SBBON generation, and reachability analysis. They instrument the build process itself.
Here's where it gets really interesting. So instead of trying to guess the recipe by analyzing a fully baked cake in a lab, RunSafe is standing right next to the chef in the kitchen, writing down exactly which ingredients are actually dropping into the mixing bowl.
Yes, they're putting a high-speed camera right on the blender.
I love that.
Instead of waiting for the final product, RunSafe integrates directly into the make or ninja process. It watches the actual execution calls to the compiler.
Oh, wow.
As GCC or Clang processes each individual .c and .state source file, RunSafe records it in real time.
So they captured the absolute ground truth of the compilation event.
Exactly. By the time the build finishes, you don't just have a generic manifest claiming the Linux kernel is present. You have a precise, cryptographically verifiable file-level inventory of every single source file that the compiler physically touched.
That's huge.
And by extension, you possess definitive proof of exactly what was excluded.
That file-level inventory fundamentally changes the math of vulnerability scanning. We are no longer dealing with package-level assumptions.
Right. The guessing game is over.
But wait, how does this tool actually map a vague CVE database entry to those specific compilation inputs? Because the CVE usually just reads like a text description of a flaw, right?
Yeah, that's a great question. And this is where the true reachability analysis occurs. A CVE isn't just a text summary. At its technical core, the patch for a vulnerability modifies very specific source files within a repository.
Yeah.
RunSafe maintains a database that maps these CVEs down to the exact file paths involved in the exploit. So when their system cross-references your components, it bypasses the package name entirely.
It skips the whole Linux kernel label.
Right. It takes the specific vulnerable file paths associated with a CVE and checks them against your build time inventory.
So it basically asks a binary question. Did the compiler ever process netbluetoothsiccore.c?
Exactly. And if the answer is no, if that specific file never entered the compilation pipeline, the vulnerability is physically impossible to exploit.
Because it's literally not there.
Right. It is completely unreachable because the vulnerable logic simply does not exist in the final binary structure.
Okay, so we've established the technical mechanism tracking file-level inclusion by instrumenting the compiler. But how does this machine-level observation translate into enterprise compliance? Because having the raw data is one thing, but getting an external auditor or a regulatory body to accept that proof without demanding manual investigation, that's the actual hurdle, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Bridging the gap between raw compiler data and auditor-friendly compliance is where this workflow becomes truly elegant.
Okay, how does it do that?
When RunSafe's reachability analysis determines that a CVE maps to an excluded file, it does not just quietly suppress the alert on a developer dashboard.
Right.
It automatically triages the vulnerability by generating artifacts using the CycloneDX VEX standard.
VEX, the Vulnerability Exploitability Exchange Format.
Yes.
For those who might not deal with this daily, this is the industry's standardized, machine-readable way of communicating whether a product is actually affected by a known vulnerability.
Exactly. And within the CycloneDX VEX specification, there are precise justifications a vendor can assert. RunSafe automatically flags these phantom threats with the state of not affected and applies the specific justification of code not present.
Oh, that's brilliant.
It completely transforms the dynamic. It is no longer an exhausted developer manually typing, "We don't use this," into a JIRA ticket.
Right, hoping the auditor believes them.
Right. It is an automated, standards-compliant, machine-readable assertion backed by immutable data captured directly from the build chain.
So what does this all mean? The downstream benefits of that automation are massive, right?
Oh, yeah.
The source text highlights that this provides incredibly fast and highly defensible triage. When regulators or enterprise procurement teams scrutinize your security posture and ask how you assessed a list of 4,000 kernel CVEs, you just hand them a VEX document.
Yep. You are pointing to cryptographic proof rooted in the compiler's own execution logs.
It fundamentally changes the conversation during an audit.
Totally. Instead of defending manual, subjective filtering processes, you are presenting deterministic build data.
Which they can't really argue with.
Exactly. Furthermore, the internal cultural shift for the engineering team is profound.
Oh, I bet. The industry refers to this as alert fatigue. When 90% of a daily vulnerability feed is irrelevant noise, developers become desensitized.
Yeah, the boy who cried wolf.
Right. They start assuming every critical alert is just another false positive. But by utilizing build time data to automatically issue code not present justifications, the noise is systematically filtered out before it ever reaches a human reviewer.
The seemingly impossible to-do list shrinks from thousands of phantom threats down to the handful of vulnerabilities that actually exist within the compiled logic.
Exactly. And teams instantly reclaim their most valuable resource, which is time.
Time previously squandered arguing with a spreadsheet over a Bluetooth driver on a device without a radio.
Right. And now that time is reallocated to analyzing complex logic flaws, architecture reviews, or patching the networking subsystem that is actually exposed to the internet.
Which is what they should have been doing the whole time.
Reachability analysis automates the lowest value triage work, freeing up human intelligence for high value threat mitigation.
Okay, but whenever we talk about adding security steps, developers usually groan because it means overhauling their workflow.
Oh, for sure.
Does implementing this mean a team has to rip out and replace their entire build process? Because instrumenting the compiler sounds incredibly intrusive.
Yeah, the concern over build latency and pipeline disruption is actually the primary reason post-build scanners became popular in the first place.
Because they were just easier to bolt on at the end.
Exactly. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, the source material explicitly notes that RunSafe's architecture integrates seamlessly into existing continuous integration and continuous deployment pipelines.
Really?
Yeah, it's designed to ride alongside the existing compiler tool chains, whether that is GCC, Clang, or proprietary embedded compilers, without requiring fundamental changes to the make files or build scripts.
Oh, wow. So it basically acts as an invisible observer, recording the process without interfering with the compilation speed or modifying the actual binary output.
Exactly. The ultimate objective of modern security tooling is to embed these verifiable checks so seamlessly into the natural flow of software engineering that the secure path is also the frictionless path.
I love that. The secure path is the frictionless path.
Yeah. By extracting this definitive proof automatically as a natural byproduct of compiling the code, the compliance problem is solved without adding a single administrative step to the developer's workflow.
It's a remarkable shift in strategy. So, mapping out the journey we've taken today, we started with the paralyzing problem of noisy vulnerability lists.
The impossible to-do list.
Exactly. We dissected the package-level trap, demonstrating how standard scanners operate on guilt by association, creating thousands of false positives.
Especially in heavily tailored environments like Yocto Linux embedded systems.
Right. And we saw the mathematical impossibility of reversing a statically linked C's binary with post-build tools. You can't unblend the smoothie.
Yeah.
But by shifting our perspective and instrumenting this compiler during the build, we can capture the exact file-level ground truth. Tools like RunSafe use this granular data to automatically map CVEs, identify excluded code, and generate standard-compliant VEX artifacts that definitively prove a vulnerability is not present.
It replaces the guesswork and manual toil of the software supply chain with deterministic certainty, fundamentally realigning security resources toward actual risk.
Which brings me to a final forward-looking thought based on the mechanics we've explored today.
Okay, let's hear it.
If build time SBOMs and reachability analysis can now definitively prove down to the microscopic file-level path exactly what logic is and isn't present in a compiled binary, could this granular level of tracking eventually allow the industry to dynamically generate custom security patches on the fly?
Oh, wow.
Think about the implications. Instead of waiting for a massive generalized vendor patch that updates the entire operating system and requires a risky reboot of an industrial device, could you tailor software defenses down to the specific functions a single device actually executes?
I mean, the logical extension of this technology is staggering. If we possess a perfect, verifiable inventory of exactly what entered the compiler, we could theoretically build surgical countermeasures, hyper-personalized security patches designed exclusively for that exact device configuration.
Right.
It represents a transition from generalized perimeter defense to incredibly precise, tailored immunity.
It is an incredibly exciting frontier for embedded systems. And for you listening, keep exploring the mechanisms behind the tools you use. Continually question the structural assumptions of your systems. And remember, just because a threat appears on a seemingly impossible auditor-mandated to-do list doesn't mean the code actually exists in your binary. We will catch you next time on the Deep Dive.